Anyway, one of the ladies read this thing out, and I thought I'll read it today, and then I sort of expanded on it. So I'll just read what it was. It's a little bit frivolous in a way, I suppose, but it really touched me anyway. It's called Gardening God's Way. I don't know if any of you have heard it. To garden God's way, you've got to plant three rows of peas. Peace of mind, peace of heart, and peace of soul. I'll be quick. And next, you plant three rows of squash. Squash gossip, squash indifference, and squash selfishness. And then plant four rows of lettuce. Let us be faithful, let us be kind, let us be obedient, and let us really love one another. No garden is complete without turnips. I love this one. Turn up for the meeting. Meetings, actually. Turn up for service and turn up to help one another. Water freely with patience and cultivate with love. When there is much in your garden, it's because you reap what you sow. To conclude, every garden must have time in it. For God, time for study and time for prayer. Now, it's sort of frivolous, but at the same time it makes you think, doesn't it? And so I'm going to expound on that now. And the first reading that I thought of when I thought of the piece was a reading that I don't even have to look at anymore, because it's what I feel God gave me this reading years ago. My dad was seriously ill and died, sadly, and I think God was giving me comfort through it. And so I was going to say, if I asked everybody to put their hand up if they've got a favourite reading, I'm sure most of us would have one. And if you haven't, get one. Get God to give you something that's special to your heart. And it's John 16:33, and it says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, trouble, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." But God's telling us not to worry, not to be sad, but be happy, because he's overcome the world. That really, if I had one scripture that I wanted to say at my funeral, I'm always thinking ahead, that would be the one. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And Jesus has overcome the world. So you know, the Holy Spirit to plant peace in your heart, and going back to the garden there, that comes from God through Jesus Christ. We are not promised an easy life, as it says in, because Jesus said this himself, he was saying in John 16. We're not promised an easy life, but we are promised that God will be with us in all things, good or bad. I mean, he loves to be with us when we're rejoicing, he dances with us, he sings over us. But he loves to be with us when we're crying, and he cries with us. And he will give us peace that passes all understanding. The second thing was squash. Now, most squash gossip. Gossip, I think, is one of the worst things, although it does say to squash indifference and selfishness. And I think gossip can lead to those things anyway. I'm just going to read 2 Timothy 3, 1-5. Now, I don't need you to go with me. Sorry, I thought you said something. Oh. Well, there you go. 2 Timothy, that's it. Sorry, 2 Timothy 3, 1-5. I've put all my bits of paper in, so it takes me less time to find it. And it says, oh no, I've got the wrong one. I did that yesterday. Hang about. 3:1-5. "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away." So, you know, how do we squash gossip? Well, I've heard people say, you know, if somebody's gossiping to you, just tell them you'd rather not hear it, or go and talk to the person you're talking about. You know, if you can squash it quickly, then you can deal with it. And I've put down here, sadly, we're all guilty of being selfish, indifferent and gossiping. We're all guilty of it. But as soon as we find ourselves doing any of these things, we need to stop and ask God's forgiveness. God will forgive us instantly if we instantly recognise the way we're going. And speak only what's good and helpful about each other. What's the phrase? You can't say anything good about somebody, don't say anything at all. And I'm talking to myself in all these things that I'm talking this morning. I just felt we needed to reinforce them. And then after that, we've got the letters. Let us be faithful and all the rest. And Galatians 5, 22 and 23. I like backing up what I say by scripture. Then if I say something that's not quite right, I can speak to God. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. You can't argue with that. And I've just put down here, ask the Holy Spirit to fill you with all these things, the love, the joy, the peace, and only He can, because, you know, we can't do these things in our own strength. We want to. As people, we have a conscience when we come to God. We want to do all that in our own strength. We strive to be good and to do the right thing and say the right thing, but unless we have the Holy Spirit guiding and leading, we can't do it. We can only do it by the Holy Spirit's strength in us. And the next one is one that I really like. As a pastor, my son is in America, and he's been there nearly 10 years, and he's been to half a dozen churches. And every time I phone him, he phones me on a Sunday, especially if it's a Sunday morning at his end, I'll say, not gone to church this morning then? Christian, lovely Christian family. And he'll say, we got up late, or one of the kids was this, or a good excuse. And the other excuse is, can't find one we like, they're too American. Well, you wanted to live there, so you'll have to get on with it. But, I try not to be overbearing as a mum, but I do like to think of my son going to church regularly, because it is important. And I've said to him many a time, Matthew, you're a pastor's nightmare. He never knows when you're going to be there. He never knows when you're going to turn up. And, as pastors, we like to rely on people turning up. There's no easy way of saying it. If people aren't there, you miss them. First of all, you're worried in case there's a problem. So then you think, shall I ring them? Or will they think I'm pestering them? So, we need to turn up for each other as much as for ourselves. It's so important. I can't emphasise it enough. Gather together. Come to church, help each other. We can be with God on our own, no doubt about it. It's important to be with God on our own. But when we come together to God, there is so much more power in our meeting. When we pray as a corporate body, we are more powerful in the heavenly realm. There is a heavenly realm. There is an enemy that's trying to stop our prayers, hinder us. When we come together as a body, like this morning praying for Sue and Ken and others' situations, I believe there's more power in our prayers when we're in unison together. As Matthew 18:20 says, Jesus says, for whether two or three gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Encourage each other. I'd like to just look at Hebrews 10:24 and 25. I used to have a Bible with the thumb thingy in it, but... Now I just have to have bits of paper. So this is my word. This is the word of God. Hebrews 10:24 and 25 says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. That's the day of the Lord. And it is getting closer every year. So let's not forget the assembling of ourselves together for the sake of each other and to worship God together. And then it says, water freely with patience and cultivate with love. Wait patiently. You know, I'm talking to myself more than anybody. I get impatient. I get impatient that there's not more seats. I mean, I'm patient this morning. It's fantastic. Lots of visitors. It's wonderful. And it's beautiful to see you all. But I would love to see these seats filled every single week. So I'm impatient for that. I'm impatient for a keyboard player. Pray for us. We need a keyboard player. We need to give Andrew a break. Thank God for Blynn able to do it with CDs and for Cliff and Julia. But, you know, it'd be lovely to have a few more musicians. But anyway, I'm getting off the point. Wait patiently. When I plant seeds in my garden, I want them. I water them and I care for them. I even talk to some. And I try not to give them too much sun and too much shade. I remember planting roses at the bottom of the garden when we first came, and they were dying from being burnt by the sun. So I put them halfway up the garden, and they're a bit better, but still not good. And so in the end, I put them in a shady place, and they do beautifully now. I have some beautiful roses. You know, so wait patiently for your seeds to grow and to blossom. And it's the same with our lives. And the lives of those God has put in our lives to care for. We went to England and America all in one go this year, so 2 months I was away from my garden. When I came back, I knew that I would find some plants dead. I could have asked people to water them, but it's just such a fact, I think, you know, a few plants, it doesn't matter. But, you know, it's amazing the amount of weeds that have grown, and through the cracks in the pavers and things that I would normally pull out quickly, that the weeds had really took hold in some places. And that's the same with our spiritual lives, you know. If we don't water and wait patiently and do the things that we should do in our lives, then things won't grow, things will die. And if we don't keep our eyes open, the weeds will grow and choke what God's trying to do. I hope that makes sense. And when I got back, as I say, there were plants in pots that did look dead, but I never give up. I don't give up till I can actually pull it out and there's no root under there. So I touched one of my plants. It felt nice and sturdy, even though it looked dead on the top. Been watering ever since we got back. And I'm hopeful for two plants that they will come back to life. And one actually has got little green shoots of leaves coming up, which is wonderful. And I say that to emphasise that I don't give up on my plants, and God never gives up on us. And we should be the same with each other. God never gives up on us, and we should give up on each other. You know, I was mad about something when I got back, because there's always things, little niggles. And my first reaction was, I won't say what I thought. But then I thought, what would Jesus do? And I think we need to remind ourselves, what would Jesus do? And he will go the extra mile. He will forgive 70 times 7. We've got to do what Jesus does. And then the next one is when there is much in your garden because you reap what you sow. If you put lots of seed in your garden and you look after it, hopefully you'll get lots of flowers and things. So I'd like to read Galatians 6 to 10. It says, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him to who teaches. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And I looked that verse up on Wednesday because we were talking about James and being kind and looking after each other and caring. And Audrey said, yes, and to church family first. And that is what this is saying here. The Bible specifically says, especially to those of the household of faith. So do good to everyone, but especially those that are in the family. And I underlined that verse a long time ago, and also the other verse, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. God will always triumph in all circumstances, and if we are doing God's will, then we will always triumph. So we mustn't grow weary. Be patient. We do reap what we sow, whether it be good or bad, so let's do good. As I said, never give up. Be generous in all good things, especially towards our brothers and sisters. And then give God time. And it's, it's T-H-Y-M-E for the garden, but time for God, time for study and time for prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5, I'm nearly finished. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I mean, that could be simpler, could it? Rejoice always. That's a whole verse, that is. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Well, I think what we've been doing this morning, rejoicing and giving thanks to God. Give God time. Worship God, read your Bible, and pray always with rejoicing and thankfulness. And that's a daily thing, you know, not just as people saying, you know, you could go home today and think, well, that's it for another week until next Sunday. It shouldn't be. Whether you come midweek or not, and it'd be lovely to come on Wednesday, we meet at 7 o'clock. But if you don't come from one Sunday to the next, you can meet with God every day and read his word and grow in knowledge and understanding and grow in knowledge of the love that he has for us. I think we so often get it wrong with God that we think he's there with a big stick ready to smack us if we get a line. But reading his word and praying to him and talking to him helps us to realise just what a loving, caring God he is, and he doesn't want that any should perish but that all should come to everlasting life. And I'd just like to read the last thing I've got to read, nothing else written down, is Matthew 6. Hang on, I've missed one out, which was really important. You've got time for me to just read this, haven't you? Psalm 87. I was going to read the psalm this morning and then speak on it, but I just felt God wanted me to do this. But I'd just like to read a little bit at Psalm 37, where I was talking about patience and waiting. And it's verse 3 and 4 and 7. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. Sorry I missed that one out, but I really felt I needed to say that. And then my last reading is Matthew. My Bible is full of bits of paper. And they're all important, but the trouble is if I lift it up too quick, everything falls out. So, going back to the last bit, which is about putting God first. This might seem a strange reading, but I really wanted to read this. This is Jesus speaking. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetition, as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. And that's the Lord's Prayer, which we do say quite frequently, but it needs breaking down, and that's for another time. And I have heard other people break it down, because there's so much wealth in the Lord's Prayer. It's not just to be spoken parrot fashion. It is to be spoken bit by bit, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, give God the glory first, and all these things will be added to us. So, short, sweet, I hope, but also thought-provoking. Just give everything to God, give God time, and all the things will come in their place. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you for everything that's been said and done and sung. Oh, Lord, I thank you for the people whose hearts are willing to be of service to you, Lord. And I just pray that you will guide us, each one of us, in your ways. Make us more and more fruitful for you, Lord. That people will see you through fruitful lives that we give to them, Lord. Lord, let us be doers of your word and not hearers only. Oh Lord, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you that your presence has been here in such a mighty way. Bless us, Lord, as we strive to bless you.
Please be safe.